The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
Well, good morning, everyone. We got a soft good morning. I know it's been a stressful couple hours for you, I'm sure, but we'll try that one more time. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's a privilege to be here. Like we were introduced, we are representatives from One Hope Canada, so our bias is in camp ministry. But we do want to have a conversation here this morning in the form of a panel discussion that we trust will be a blessing to you and an encouragement, maybe a challenge, I'm not sure. We're certainly not necessarily experts in this field, but we just want to share some experiences from the front lines. And we trust that, you know, this time will be an encouragement. So my name is Michael Bergen. I serve at Galgi Bible Camp in McGregor, Manitoba. We are one of 42 One Hope Canada camps across the country. We'll try not to talk too much about One Hope Canada. We want this to be a general session and not necessarily a sales call, but just so you kind of know where we're coming from and what we do. This is our panel. I was told that panels should be smaller than this normally, so our apologies. Ignorance is bliss, but we're going to have some fun this morning. Beside me is Carla Schmidt. Next to her is Caden Catani, Brian Schmidt, Natalie Dreger, Brennan Catani, and Maya Giesbeck. And so I think all excited to be here, maybe with a little fear and trepidation. And like I said, it's going to be a bit of a casual panel. It's not going to feel super official, but we do have some responses that we've prepared to some questions. And if there's time at the end, we would love to get some feedback from you or some questions from the floor. And if we can answer those honestly and candidly, we will. And so that's kind of the format for this morning. If it's all right, I'd like to pray before we start, and then we'll get into our session. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day you have given us. We thank you that, again, you've provided us with the general safety to arrive here and to take part in this event. We thank you that this event has been founded on the foundations of your word and of your truth, and that I believe it would be the intentions of the organizers to honor and glorify you and everything that is said, thought, and done here during this weekend. And so we pray that we would start off strong this morning by honoring and glorifying you here today and all the sessions that are taking place right now for all the other speakers and presenters, that you would prepare their hearts and the hearts of the listeners to be encouraged and to learn and grow as a body of believers. And we thank you for each one here, and we thank you for your gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for all sins, to save us and to give us new life in you. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. And so just by way of a bit of some preamble, I found some statistics through a study that was done in 2018. Some of you might be familiar with it. It's called Renegotiating Faith. The delay in young adult identity formation and what it means for the church in Canada. This study was headed up by Rick Heimstra, Lorraine Buick, and Matthew Blackaby. So I would consider it fairly recent. I know 2018 feels like eons ago, especially because there was a brief period of time shortly after that where things changed for a while, and we felt like we were all reset after that. But I think the statistics still hold in general. And I am going to focus on, I would encourage you to, this study is actually available fully online, and it's quite illuminating. It focuses on young adult engagement in the church based on some factors that may or may not be involved in their lives. And so there was there's a section in there on ministry or like serving in seasonal, specifically seasonal or summer camp ministry. And so it said there was well over 1,000 people, young adults surveyed. Out of those surveyed, 44% attended camp. And of those surveyed, 26% of those worked at camp or served at camp in some capacity in their lifetime. Now, what I found interesting, and again, statistics don't tell the whole story, but of those who attended camp as young adults, as teens, they were more than twice as likely to attend religious services regularly as adults. I found that very interesting, that for those that served in camp ministry, They were more than twice as likely to stay regularly involved in the church. And so I just want that to kind of ruminate through. I think those stats would probably be consistent, whether that was at summer camp or in other ministries, but a service aspect. So I'm going to read our introduction that you would have had in your material that might have influenced you to come here today. Is it family worship or worship in family? There's a biblical mandate to raise children entrusted to us, to train them up in the way that they should go, Proverbs 23, verse 6. But at what point does that training lead into practice? How do we as parents encourage children to go and serve while continuing to protect and train? Here straight from the homeschool community and a few others on the necessity of worship through ministry service and how it starts in the home. So again, I want to qualify this that we don't necessarily set ourselves up as a panel to be the resident experts on this topic, but we do want to just provide some from the horse's mouth, so to speak, perspectives on how that looks in faith and practice. So without further ado, I'm going to start with a first question. We're going to try and make this feel natural, but there was a little bit of an organized way that we will answer this. So if it feels a little forced, just laugh through it. But I'm going to ask a question, and someone who feels qualified to answer will raise their hand and say they can tackle that. We're going to start with a tough one. Certain stereotypes, good or bad, seem to come with the homeschooling territory. What are some of those stereotypes that are perceived by the child or the student, and how did your personal homeschooling experience play out in light of those stereotypes? Anyone want to answer that question?
Yeah.
And would you please introduce yourself a little bit more fully before you answer the question,
yeah,
Natalie?
Yeah, for sure. My name is Natalie Dugas. I'm a homeschooled graduate, I guess, child. My parents homeschooled. I was homeschooled from grade 1 through 12. And I have three sisters, also a homeschooling, and right in the middle. So that's kind of my kind of sessions. I work at Valley View by the CBI, so it's part of where I'm at. Stereotypes, I don't like that word. And as a homeschooler, I hated being put into any kind of stereotypes, like just despised it. To the point where I came here to be conference of the team, and I would like do my best to like wear clothes that wouldn't put me in like the conservative or put me in the I hate being a homeschooler. I just want to be like neutral. I didn't want to fit. I don't think I succeeded, but I tried really hard. But I was really aware of just like the different stereotypes that are out there. And I mean, like, it's not a bad thing. Stereotypes aren't a bad thing. And we all kind of fit one or the other some ways. Some that I maybe laugh at are that there's the differences in homeschoolers. You have the, I wake up at 5 a.m. and get my homework done by 10, a homeschooler. And you have the, I wake up at 10 and I do school my PJs and I finish by 2 and it's fine. And then you have the one that's me, and I woke up at 6 and I never stopped here in school because I just worked both ways. But we did get it done. I did graduate. Anyways, there is one stereotype, maybe just a stereotype, maybe it's not, but maybe it's a category that I was really dodgy for them. It's just like my parents' reason for homeschooling. I really love that. I love talking about it. Because we never started out wanting to be a homeschool family, and my parents never, they got with me in their plans. The first step was mom realized when my older sister and me were in school, she was like, they're growing up so fast and I want more time to spend. And my dad would tell anyone the reason why we homeschooled was so that he could come home for lunch and eat lunch with us. So it was just really relationship built kind of from the get-go. My parents are solid believers and growing in their faith, and they brought us along on that journey and trained us in that. And homeschooling just helps with that, right? That's something that you can do whether you think so or public school, but homeschooling just like, gives a beautiful opportunity for discipleship the whole day, the whole week, just doing life together. And so I think that sometimes those a stereotype, maybe you could fall into when you get to the discipleship and training aspect of hopefully that you want to train with, but really they could go and train them in godliness. And I think that's, as you said, that's the desire of everyone in this room, that you desire to do that, and that's beautiful. And maybe the dip on either side is to be overprotective there and never go outside of the home with that discipleship, or to constantly just serve and never actually like be the contribute to other things. So, right. So, just speaking to my experience, I think my parents did a really good job with that. I don't even know when it started. We live the lifestyle of growing in our relationship with God and knowing who he is and knowing his word and then investing in other people. So whether that was my parents bringing us along to do a church service at a care home and interacting with them, whether that was, I can do examples, but I'm going to forget them. So I'm going to read my notes. Care home. Oh yeah. We would often, me, my mom and my sisters, we would go to help set up and serve at funerals and just like serve behind the scenes that way. My parents did a lot of Bible studies and hosting them and teaching them. And so the parents of that kind of Bible study, they'd bring their kids and it would just kind of happen that us sisters would kind of plan a kids program during the Bible study time, and just be intentional about investing in those kids. And so it's just kind of ingrained in us both through, my mom's teaching example, particularly because she's just a little bit more of that. She was home with us all day. And just keeping at the girls, like, look for, the younger girl in church who you can invest in, look for, the relationships that you can build. And then my dad just really showing us that example, what it was like to do that. And when it came time for when we were old enough to band and shift, to kind of go out on our own, there's a change in us that being uncomfortable was actually a good thing. It helped me trust the Lord. And so for me, that was stepping into camp ministry when I was 16, and it was terrifying. And I have stories. It did not go well all the time. But they taught me that example of how to serve, even when you're comfortable, even when you feel inadequate. And yeah, so it's just very much a model of like just making disciples. And so I think sometimes the flip side of that can be so focused on disciples within the home, but that it just doesn't translate into going out and that flowing through you to others. Because I've seen both. I've seen parents who both homeschool families do that really well. They grow together and then they'll go serve together. And then they'll see some family that you too learn together and they just kind of stay there. So that's kind of a bit of talking to say it, like from my perspective.
I appreciate that, Natalie, and I think that's what we want to get at here is that you've got personal experience, and just hope there'd be a mutual encouragement to one another. It's, I didn't maybe do the best job of introducing our purpose here today. Our purpose is not necessarily to convince you that you're doing something wrong. Our purpose is just to rather encourage and maybe state that we, as a panel, believe very strongly that service to Christ as a family and equipping our children to serve, and protecting them in that by finding suitable places to go about that service and preparing them and giving them meat and solid food at home so that they have that confidence or that dependence on Christ to serve it would be our emphasis here this morning. We just want to affirm that important part of family worship. So just to clarify a bit for those that are just coming on as well. So next question, which kind of piggybacks off of something that you said, Natalie, is there such a thing as a missionary family lifestyle? And how do parents model service to Christ in the home or outside of the home? Is there anyone that wants to tackle that question? Brennan, I think that would be good.
I think you could drop the pretense. We all know what's going on here, Michael. So I'm Brennan, and have had the honor and the privilege of being involved with Valley Bible Camp for a number of years now. But we also are a part of the church camp also on Village Church in Winnipeg. And so we're right in the middle of Winnipeg. And I think one of the things that we've really put out a deep priority in our home, see this whole thing is what does it mean? What does it mean to live on a great mission kind of mission as a family? And I think that as believers, we have been given a gift in our children and in our context. To not just be a family, but to be a family with a place. Like if God is sovereign, then He has put me there I don't know where all of you are from, but none of you are where you are by mistake. And so he put us there intentionally, just as much as he put our neighbors beside us intentionally. And he's given us the things that he's given us intentionally. He works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And what we've seen is that if we live where we are with that truth held out in front of us, then that actually changes and informs the way that we can, because we're not then ever needing to be reactive straight like him. We can be proactive. All right, good. So our gay neighbors are going to come over for dinner. Let's talk through this. How do we, as a missionary family, like, how do you doing the dishes, and how do you guys, as kids, relating to each other while you do the dishes, while our gay neighbors are sitting there at the counter after a meal, how is that fulfilling the God? One example is, like, we were supposed to have our neighbors over for dinner this past Wednesday, but it didn't work out because none of our kids were sick. And so, so my neighbor, we had to reschedule, and then he asked me how he's doing. And I said to him, well, we're friends with him. And by God's grace, we're both better. And if it's God's will, then next week we'll be able to do the dinner with you guys. And he's like, awesome, rooting for it. And so we just are continually with our, within our family, with our neighbors, in our context, and with our kids, intentionally trying to give everyone around us a goal in terms of Jesus, both in word and in deed. Yeah. We could unpack that for a while, but
appreciate that, Danny. Thank you. And you can continue to interact with that topic. Possibly if you have time. It would be wonderful if you had your offspring here to give a perspective from the home that is different than a parent's. I'll say a question that might allude to an offspring being here and see if that would. Is there value in learning and growing outside the umbrella of the home? What's something you need to be true that it took was putting faith into action?
My name is Ben. I'm Ben's son. I have been homeschooled my whole life, and I'm actually graduating tomorrow here. That's exciting. But I think there's a great value to learning outside the home as well as inside the home. I attended UAL Arts and Technology Center this past year. To study mathematics, and that really helped me step outside of the umbrella of, okay, my parents are teaching me how to live the gospel in every way, and being able to step out into a very, very secular, very ungodly place, and to be able to actually live out the gospel. It personally taught me how to, like, actually share the gospel well. It's not like a thing you're born with. It's not a talent that you're born with. It's a skill that can be learned. And I had the blessing of being able to learn that. And I'm still in contact with a bunch of guys from my school, and I still. And sharing the gospel and, like, everything in reading. I think it's very, and you don't want to expose, like, you don't want to like helicopter a little bit. You want to like show your kids how the world works, in a healthy way. And I personally, I feel like I was given that opportunity at the perfect time, in the perfect way.
What was something you knew to be true, but it clicked once putting your faith in action?
Okay, yeah. So last summer, I worked at Valley Development Camp, as a cabin leader, and I ran the go-kart. Great summer, best summer of my life. I was able to come home and be like, hey, well, that was I spent a good, you know, but it was just a day. But before I went, I could probably tell you about how my patience was and that it was probably okay. But going and working at Value really tested that and really showed me that I had no patience. It also showed me that I needed to trust and rely on the Lord way more, because it was I am 18, but I, when I was 17, I didn't like staying at a different place than my house. I didn't like being away from my parents. And that was like just my personality, and that's just how I kind of that was just kind of a struggle for me for a really, really long time. And then the second week of Valley View, I was standing in the middle of the guide area. And the Lord just like, he put it all in perspective. He was like, hey, yeah, this is the place you're supposed to be. And I got that. I'm like, this is my family. I'm home. This is where I'm supposed to be. And he, from that point on, said to me, like, hey, this is how you have patience. And this is how you're supposed to trust me. And this is how you're supposed to rely on me. And don't forget that this is something that, is really good. It's really good for you. And it's really hard. And it hurts kind of, and it's really uncomfortable, but it's really, really good for you. So.
Appreciate that, Katie. Thank you. Maya, what parts of growing up homeschool did you appreciate, and what aspects particularly equipped you to serve? What does discipleship look like in your home? And when you introduce yourself, you have some interesting things that you've been engaged in. Please, if you want to just give our folks in the audience a bit of an idea of who you are, your name, and where you're from, and your schooling background again. Maybe share a little bit about your journey most recently. So.
I don't remember about that.
I just, you're serving in an interesting program. You're being discipled, and you're not doing that trip.
So, my name is Maya Yusuf. My name is Yusuf. I'm a student in the world. My role is home. All my 3 years, I graduated 2 years ago. This actually is important to note because I'm a school thing. I have the 5 siblings, and so I haven't feel feelings a bit different than what you have. I could be at a school, and I'm involved in a year-round discipleship program run by Rachel and Dr. Smith. We can get all about the past 3 summers serving in a cabinet capacity. And roughly 48 hours ago, I came in from Brazil, where my school allowed me to do a speech on listening to serving on a Bible class down there and getting to really pour into the youth down in Brazil. And so I definitely saw the community of things. And after I enjoyed and teaching the community, I really enjoyed. There's a lot of freedom from my life team, to be with them and talk with that to me and the other women and my friends, babies, and parents into what we're treating. So, like, the data chemistry. So, my mom having some chemistry in the cooking because I like to cook even. And so, it made me something I learned if I was studying chemical reactions when I'm in food versus chemical reactions when I'm in. And so, I appreciated the freedom that I was given from the setting things like forensics and psychology and how medicine, how plants are medicine and help us. But in all of these subjects, I really appreciate how every single one is Christian, but everyone is central to the staff of this project. So every subject I have studied as a hand here is centered on what our Creator and what He has done and how He has made our world, even them. You get to mass and you listen to mass, and you intentionality of how he's creative, the world is living. And I think I was going to say this, so it's just every piece of my theory was those. It's still, they don't even know that our theater and the world that he has created is so that, I think, there's one of my favorite things that comes to me. And I think having all this knowledge, which is a lot of hard knowledge, we've never seen really the hard knowledge, really helped. If I said something in this room, I had a really good knowledge of the baggage and the community because I remember all these school books growing up. And I was able to move that in the street in my own struggles and with cancer people. And I think having that really prepared me to serve. I also think having self-giving prepared me to serve because when you are home by those your siblings, when you don't get those 3 hours a day away from them, as you did in public sphere, the private sphere, then you have to learn to live with all the time. 24/7, you are living with these people. And taking out that. I'm saying that learning to have patience and learning to take somebody who's straight around and maybe just want to work maybe, and he's not learning. And so, I think that in the end of the ministry, I think it's not the ministry, and I'm going to go to the past few years. Having siblings that have been there with them taught me how to look at them as kids who are coming into the class and coming into the ministry for my youth ministry and to love them. Because I've been taught about that, like I need to explore into this person, even if I personally don't quite meet. And I think that being with your siblings, who you fight with all the time, really sets me for that ministry to be just to them. Thank you.
I think you started to cover that, but what does discipleship look like in the head?
I don't think there's been like happen drive, I think. I don't think there's been a lot touched on last year. I believe it'd be important. But my person is feeling my family and I was there. We would sit around the kids at each point and do courses. We would stay with each other every seminar. My mom reads the Bible school, my siblings. So growing up, we would start to see the importance of spending time with our kids. And I think that's the first step to promoting the experience to fix the maturity in fact. And we would serve like this, we would be outreach, and then coming up gospel class, speaking up the neighborhood, and I feel like people actually realize opportunity to serve, but they also in the home, there was this emphasis on we should be serving the world. And then I could do, be the person that comes from the doctor there. Because the way I made these support, there was a lot of support after. Maybe you may think the really well, and so I used to attend services. But I will tell you, OTS is like playing in that way. There's very large need for the safety there, and it is a good day in the church environment. But as a first few years, there was it. There's been some conversations with the because there were a lot of things. That when you step out into that environment, you don't step into your current path there. We have conversations about, like you said, we need to have a conversation about how we exist and how we love this and how we feel about this. And so it's a little bit about you need to be in the home, so we make things like logic priority, and that building your relationship with that is something tiny, tiny resources. And then there needs to be that time outside the home, you see them. Pictures and people need to have that presence and mindset and that presence that we are supposed to
be. Yeah. I appreciate that. There's lots of things in my mind here too. As I learn, as the moderator of this panel, I was hesitant to show my hand, but I'm at a homeschool conference, a moderator of a homeschool panel, and I was not homeschooled. Now, you guys saw that. You saw right through that, didn't you? Yeah. Like, oh, that makes a ton of sense. So that was a decision my parents made. I grew up in a family that feared the Lord, and I have some positive experiences of my education but I also, just really appreciate, hearing the intentionality from students. If I'm like, as we've kind of heard right now from, with the exception of Brennan, but a perspective from the children. And what the parents have put in place. And I'm sure there's struggles on the other side, but We're just fearing that the way we prepare ourselves for ministry involves family dynamics and learning to grow with our own family, worshiping the Lord in that home and at church and serving together. I think some of these trends are obviously consistent. So we'll just continue on here, but I appreciate what's been shared and the transparency. Brian, we'll just continue with that then. What actions or words from parents have had the greatest impact on your life in service to Christ? Maybe start there. You could feel free to share a little bit of background as well.
I wasn't homeschooled either. Here we are. I was raised in a baby home. Happy Ghost is coming in. And so to answer this question, I'm going to give a little bit of backstory with my farm before this is Harry. Didn't really have much desire to be a farmer, but out of high school, dad needed help. And it's right there. It says, this on the farm. And it was good. So we looked back on those years. And they were awesome. Really deep, really deep, really deep, really deep, really deep. And but in getting this time on the farm, I'm really like restless and sad. Like there's a world going to hell, tons of people that are unreached and not heard the gospel, and I'm sitting on this tractor in the middle of nowhere, and they're going to hell. And it's really, and my mom is sitting right here to say, it's pretty restless during those years. And God is doing a lot of things within me, and yet it's even fun, it's really necessary to be humble and broken. And the Lord really needs that time. But anyway, 2018, he was getting into circumstances and speaking to the Lord. God made it really clean. But obviously, the declaration of plan, and I just took a few minutes to read them full time to pass you. I'm still at the camp and settled and really good before that. God made it really clean to get away from the farm. And getting to the question of what do my parents need to impact the loss of God and saying a big thing was that they let me go. And I remember the time with my talking with my dad, which is probably about a year after the kind of 50 time with him. I'm really born with two sisters. None of their husbands were farmers, and I'm the one boy, so I'm like that narrow line of the Smith family farm to pass down. And so talking to my dad, and he wasn't, I don't think he's done.
Once again, the Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording. Please visit them at learninghouse.ca.